Everybody, the last couple of days we have had a discussion about the mitzvah of spending money on mitzvahs, how much money we're supposed to spend, what is considered reasonable, and what might not be. So we came to the conclusion yesterday that the Rama lays down the rule for Ashkenazim, that the basic principle goes as follows. When it comes to performing a mitzvah saseh, we assume a person has to be willing to spend up to chomesh nechasav, up to a fifth of his assets, in order to be careful that that mitzvah will be performed. However, when it comes to a person abstaining, when it comes to a person making sure that they do not violate a lo saseh, we assume that the rule changes. And there the Rama tells us, a person has to be willing to go so far as to spend kol hon beso, to blow out all of the money that they have in order to save themselves from the violation of in avera. So the problem goes as follows. If the Rama is correct, that this is the rule, that when it comes to violating an avera, a person has to be willing to go above and beyond, to spend all the money in the world, all the money that they have, in order not to violate the avera, the problem will be as follows. We know, unfortunately, our world is full of very sick people. We have a lot of people who need very intense medical intervention. We have a lot of people who need some sort of medical transplant or some really complicated procedures in order to let them live. And the world, unfortunately, never has a shortage of such circumstances. We know we have an obligation to try and save the lives of others, and that is not only a mitzvah, but that is also the avera of lo salmod adam reyecha. If, let's say, I am a doctor, and I'm standing here while somebody is having, God forbid, a heart attack, I have to go quickly and try to do whatever I can. I cannot just stand by and watch the person lose their life when I have the ability to intervene. So if, in fact, this is the case, that whenever there is a lo saseh, whenever there is an avera, a person has to be willing to spend all of their money as not to violate it, how do we not all have the obligation to give all of our money to medical research, to hospitals, and to make sure that all the medical treatment that people can possibly get is provided for, because otherwise we will violate the avera of lo salmod al dam reyecha. That seems to be a major problem, and this is a question that some achronim are bothered with. And similarly, we have the same idea by the mitzvah of tzedakah. The pasuk says, pasaf tiftach es yadcha. You have a mitzvah to open up your hand, to be generous and to be nice to those who need our help. And fortunately, if we're able to give the help, we should realize how blessed we are that we're on that side of the equation and not on the other. So we have a mitzvah to go and give tzedakah. Yet at the same time that the Torah tells us we have a mitzvah to give tzedakah, we also have a lo saseh, lo sikpas es yadcha, velo sa'amet es levavcha. Don't close your heart and don't close your hand when somebody comes to you, when somebody is in desperate need. You cannot just turn a blind eye and make pretend you don't see. You cannot say, I am not interested in giving tzedakah. We have not only a mitzvah, pasoach tiftach, of giving, we also have a lo saseh, a double lo saseh, lo sikpots and lo sa'amets es yadcha, that we have a avera not to give. So the question is, if that's really the case, why am I not obligated to go ahead and give all of my money to various causes of tzedakah? Because if I don't, I will be in violation of the lo saseh of lo sa'ames es yadcha, velo sikpots es yadcha, lo sa'ames es levavcha. Isn't that under the guideline of what the Rama says, that to save myself from violating an avera, I have to be willing to spend all of my money? So again, question number one, why do we not have to blow out all of our money for medical research? Number two, why do we not have to give all of our money in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, when in fact, by both of these cases, we know that not only is there a mitzvah, but there is also a lo saseh, there is also an avera that is involved. So yesterday we mentioned that there are some who argue that when the Rama says that you have to be willing to give up all of your money as not to violate an avera, that is only when you're going to violate the avera bikum va'aseh. That is only perhaps when you're going to violate the avera actively. So for example, I have no kosher food here, and I'm stuck on a business meeting, and the only thing I can eat is something that is not kosher. So I have to be willing to give up all of my money to bring in a catering service from somewhere else in order that I shouldn't have to actively violate the avera of eating their non-kosher food. However, when I'm only going to passively violate an avera, there are those who argue that the Rama himself never said the rule in such a case. The Rama would agree that when I'm only going to passively violate an avera, I don't have to go above and beyond, I don't have to spend that much money, and the rule would not be the same. So therefore, according to those achronim, we would have a very simple answer. Why is it that I don't have to give all of my money to medical research? Why is it that I don't have to give all of my money to fulfill the mitzvah of giving tzedakah when I know if I don't fulfill it, I'm going to violate the avera of los sa'amets and los sikpots? When I know if I don't save the person's life, I'm going to violate the avera of los sa'amets al dam reyecha? The answer could be that over here, those violations are only going to be in a passive way. person is not actively violating any Avera. It is only passive, and perhaps when you're only violating an Avera passively, one would not have the obligation to spend that much money. Now you're saying, why should that be true? Who draws this distinction? An Avera is an Avera, correct? An Avera is an Avera, so what does it matter if I'm violating actively or passively? Either way, if you're violating an Avera, why should we say that you don't have to spend all of your money? So this, in fact, is the question of the Rivash, and that's why the Rivash disagrees. The Rivash says, no, you should take the Ramah very literally, and what the Ramah said about any Avera, a person has to be willing to spend all of their money, that means any Avera. Doesn't matter if you violate it actively, doesn't matter if you violate it passively. Either way, when it comes to an Avera, a person has to be willing to spend all of their money as not to violate it. Well, if that's the case, we're back to our problem. How come I don't have to give all of my money to go and help the medical research teams to come up with all the various medical interventions that are necessary to cure the world in order to save myself from violating the Avera of Lo Samud Adam Riach? Is that the question you had?
No, the question is, if you give all your money to medical research, they're not going to have it the next day or 2 days or a month. Might take them years before they have something to save lives.
Okay, so let's say, so you're saying it's not clear that my money is going to help. So what about if I give all the money to a hospital? Let's say there are plenty of people that we know that simply cannot pay to have the medical treatment that they need. So why don't I have an obligation to go ahead and find out in every given community who can pay the medical bills, and I should go ahead and have to support them? Forget about medical research. You're right, medical research is something, maybe it's too much down the line, maybe nothing's going to come out from it, but maybe I should have to give the money to save people's lives actually, to get them the transplants, to make sure they have whatever they have. So I asked my father this question once. He suggested that no. When the Ramah says over here that you have to be willing to spend all of your money as not to violate an Avera, that means when you're in a one-time emergency situation, person has to be willing to give up all of their money. When you're in a crisis, when you're in that kind of scenario of urgency where either you're going to put up all your money or you're going to violate the Avera, then the Ramah says you have to be willing to put up all of your money as not to violate the Avera. However, my father felt when you have a continuous problem, when you have an issue that is interminable, an issue like medical problems, the world will never be rid of all the medical issues that we have, unfortunately. So I'm going to go out and get a job. Every penny that I get from my job, I'm going to have to go every night and give it away to the people in the town who need to have some medical treatment. I'm never going to be able to live. That is not what the Ramah meant. The Ramah didn't mean to say that in order to save myself from violating Avera every single day, and there's no way to ever finish up, there's no way to ever take care of this problem. So in a case like that, the Ramah never said a person has to spend all their money. All the Ramah meant to say was, when you have a one-time issue, like you're stuck somewhere, you're not going to have a dalad minim. In a case like that, spend up to a fifth of your money. You're stuck somewhere, you're not going to have kosher food. In a case like that, you have to be willing to put up all your money in order not to violate the Avera. But if you have a situation where this is going to be an ongoing process and you'll never be able to take care of it, as much money as we're going to give, the medical world will never have enough money. We're always going to have to give more and more, and therefore in a case like that, perhaps, the Ramah never said his halacha. Yeah.
So what do you do, like his father said, when you get mail and emails every day about someone who died young, left over 97, well, for him it's a one-time issue, but there are hundreds of them.
Again, so that's a one-time issue, but I'm not casting aspersions on any of these causes, but we have to look into, was the person responsible during their lifetime or not? So sometimes you have somebody who's irresponsible and has 15 children and decides not to have a job, and then all of a sudden they die at the ripe old age of 150, and now they're wondering how they're going to support the kids. Well, who told you to have 15 children and not get a job? So again, you have to look into each story on its own and figure out whether it's a worthy cause or not. There are many different variables when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah. We're not obligated to give tzedakah to every single cause that comes our way. We have an obligation to give tzedakah, but again, there are guidelines about how we should allocate the funds, and it's very, very delicate halacha to figure out how to allocate funds properly, especially if we're not a people of means that have the ability to give so many millions of dollars at tzedakah. So the little bit that we give, we have to make sure that we actually give it properly. As we mentioned yesterday, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, if you don't give it properly, you get punished twofold. You get punished not only for not giving it to the right causes, but you get punished for not giving tzedakah at all. It's not like you get points for the good machshava that you had, that you wanted to be altruistic, that you wanted to give the money to tzedakah. No. If you don't give it to the intended party, if you don't get it to the rightful cause, it's something that unfortunately we will be punished for. That's what the Navi Yirmiyah tells us, as quoted in the Gemara in Baba Basra. So we mentioned that when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, not only do we have the mitzvah of pasoach tiftach, of actively going out and giving the money, but we also have, on the flip side, in Avera, of if you don't give the money, you're going to violate the Avera of Los Ha'ametz and Los Sikpots, the Los Ha'seh. So the Acharonim asked the following kasha. We know that the Gemara tells us the principle, Ha'osek b'mitzvah pater min ha'mitzvah. Somebody who's involved in one mitzvah doesn't have to go ahead and stop what they're doing to go and fulfill another mitzvah. The Gemara tells us in Baba Kama that because this is the case, that if you're involved in one mitzvah, you shouldn't stop to go do another, because this is the rule, therefore, somebody who's involved in a mitzvah, they don't have to go ahead and give tzedakah to an ani. So let's say, for example, I'm in the middle of doing the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. I'm in the middle of focusing on my father, doing whatever he needs. Now an ani taps me on the shoulder, he says, excuse me, I need some money, I'm collecting achnasas kala. I'm sorry, I'm involved in taking care of my father. I'm not obligated to go ahead and divert my attention to the ani. That's what the Gemara says in Baba Kama. That's what the Gemara says as well in Nedarim. So Rabbi Yosef Engel asks a very brilliant kasha. We say the rule of ha'osik b'mitzvah pater man mitzvah, that just means when I'm doing one mitzvah, I don't have to go ahead and do another. However, while I'm doing a mitzvah, it doesn't mean I'm allowed to violate an avera. So let's say I'm doing the mitzvah of taking care of my father. Am I allowed to eat a ham sandwich while I'm doing it? Of course not. Why? Because ha'osik b'mitzvah, I'm pater min ha-mitzvah, but I'm not pater min ha-avera. I'm not going to violate an avera at the time that I'm doing a mitzvah. So over here as well, if every time the mitzvah of tzedakah comes along, we have not only the active participation in the mitzvah of pasuach tiftach, but we also have the negative part, which is, if you don't give, you're going to violate an avera, then how could it be that you can tell me that while I'm doing a mitzvah of kibud av v'aim, I don't have to give tzedakah because osik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah? Isn't that like eating a ham sandwich? I'm not allowed to eat a ham sandwich while I'm doing service to my father. Well, then I'm not allowed to ignore the ani either while I'm doing service to my father, because if I ignore him, I will not only not fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah, but I also will violate the avera of not giving tzedakah. That's what the Acharonim asked. So the Acharonim give a very simple but very fundamental answer, and that goes as follows. You thought that the nature of every avera is that an avera is independent. It's a self-contained factor of the Torah, and it's an absolute avera. But over here we have a category of averas which are contingent. So take, for example, you have the mitzvah of tzedakah where the Torah tells you, pasach tiftach, you should be very nice, you should give away your money, you should give it to the ani, you should share it. And the Torah also tells you, if you don't share it, you violate an avera. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel and other achronim, that avera is a conditional avera. The only time you violate the avera of los ha'ametz es levavcha is if you would have had the obligation to give tzedakah and you're choosing not to. But if the mitzvah would not have applied, then on the flip side, the avera also would not apply either. That's where he says there's a different category of averas which are not absolute, which are not self-contained. We assume that there's this category of averas which are conditional, and we assume the only time you're going to violate the avera is if you had the opportunity to actually perform the mitzvah. Take for another example, the Ritva writes in Kiddushin, we know when you see a lost object in the street, you have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So says the Ritva, not only do you have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, if you don't return a lost object, you violate the Avera of Lo Sucha Lehisalim. You have an Avera of passing by and not paying attention. So says the Ritva, let's say for whatever reason I'm not obligated to have Shavas Aveda. For example, the classic example that everyone gives is, I'm the greatest Talmud Chacham, I'm the greatest Rosh Hashiva, now I find women's underwear in the middle of the street. So I'm going to have to walk, knock on every door, and ask the woman, does this belong to you? It's inappropriate. Zakin me'ena lefi chvodo. It's not appropriate for me to do that. So the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda would not apply to me. In a case like that, the Avera of Losucha Lesalim also doesn't apply, because that Avera is not an absolute Avera. That Avera is one which is contingent, which is dependent upon the mitzvah being applicable to me. So if the mitzvah doesn't apply, the Avera doesn't apply either. There is a fascinating discussion that is connected to this as well, and that is with regard to the mitzvah of making a bracha rishona. We know the Gemara says in brachos that a person has an obligation to make a bracha before eating, before consuming food or any drink. And the Gemara says that if a person does not make a bracha, it's ki'ilu mal, it's ki'ilu gazel, it's like you're stealing, it's like you're getting involved in property that doesn't belong to you, everything belongs to Hashem, and then you take it for yourself without making a bracha. Terrible thing, that's what the Gemara says. Yet we know, Rachmana litzlan, God forbid, when a person is an onein, when a person is in the middle stage, after a relative passes away, before you do the kfura, we are not allowed to perform any mitzvahs. And part of that is, we're not allowed to make any brachos either. So the Acharonim ask, how are we allowed to do that? Yes, we understand that an onin is not allowed to perform any mitzvahs, but an onin is not allowed to violate any avera in that period of aninos. We don't say just because somebody lost a relative and now they're in aninos, therefore they're allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, therefore they're allowed to be mechal Shabbos, therefore they're allowed to eat a ham sandwich, it can't be. All you're not obligated to do is to perform the mitzvahs, but you're not allowed to violate an avera. So how do you understand this halacha? Why is it that an onen in that period of aninos does not go ahead and make brachas before they eat? Don't we know you're going to violate the iser of stealing if you don't make a bracha on the food that you're eating? So how could it be that they eat without making a bracha? So the Achronim explain that the reason why is because that avera that the Torah says, that the Gemara mentions, if you don't make a bracha before you eat the food, that is not an avera that is a self-contained avera. That is an avera that is an outgrowth of the mitzvah of making a bracha. So any time where you have no obligation to make a bracha, you also don't violate the avera of stealing by not making the bracha. The only time the avera of stealing applies is when a person should have made the bracha and they didn't. Then we say it's kilu gazala kadosh baruch hu, it's kilu mal. However, says the Gemara, in a situation like an onen, where you have no obligation at all to make a bracha, then on the flip side, we would assume that you have no violation of an avera either if the bracha is not recited. So anyway, this is all the second category of mitzvahs that we find, that not always do we assume that an avera is self-contained and an avera is something that is independent. Sometimes you have an avera that is contingent on something else. And in a case like that, perhaps if the mitzvah wouldn't apply, the avera would not apply either.